It is Friday, February 8th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from the Community Clinic, helping people lead healthy lives by providing health care in Northwest Arkansas for over 12 years. Locations in Springdale, Rogers, Siloam Springs, and Fayetteville. Healthy people, healthy community. On the web at communityclinicnwa.org.
Support for KUAF also comes from the Rogers Historical Museum, offering real objects, true stories, family fun, and lifelong learning. Current exhibits include Benton County crime stories, Building Rogers, and to cap it all off, an exhibit on hats and hat making. Located in historic downtown Rogers, 621-1154 or rogersarkansas.com/museum for more information.
Ahead on Ozarks, Fort Smith rallies for a monument to honor Native son General William O. Darby. Fayetteville readies for a Mardi Gras parade tomorrow, and the band Damn Arkansan comes to the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
First, a bill that would effectively ban abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy will get a vote in front of the House of Representatives at the state capitol. Republican Senator Jason Raypert's bill to ban abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected passed in House Committee with an amendment that says the heartbeat must be detected with an abdominal ultrasound, which is possible at about 12 weeks of pregnancy. Dr. Curtis Lowry, chairman of the OBGYN department at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, told the committee if the bill passes, it would put the medical school's OBGYN program accreditation at risk.
They cited us for our residents not having adequate training for abortions, even now before this law is enacted. And so we're going to have to deal with this in some way. We're going to have to provide better training for the residents. Otherwise, we'll lose our accreditation.
Dr. Lowry says there is currently no money in the school's budget to send medical residents out of state to get the needed training. Constitutional problems with the bill have also been raised, but Senator Raypert says he thinks with current amendments the bill will stand.
This was an overwhelming vote, bipartisan vote, and I predict that in just a few days that Arkansas is going to put in place the best protection for unborn children as allowed under the United States Supreme Court case Roe v. Wade.
The bill also makes it a felony for a doctor to perform an abortion outside of the circumstances laid out in the bill. The bill passed on a voice vote.
The Senate is advancing legislation that rewrites the state's law on how to carry out executions of prisoners on death row. The state Supreme Court last year struck down the previous law, saying it gave too much leeway to the Department of Correction and that the legislature must decide how a death sentence should be carried out. Governor Mike Beebe says he will sign the bill if it makes it through the House.
Yeah, it's a law. I mean, what they're doing is they're responding in a way to the Supreme Court decision that makes it legal. It doesn't change my own personal angst about ever having to sign those things, which I still possess, but it is the law.
Governor Beebe has said recently he would sign a bill abolishing the death penalty if it reached his desk, though no such bill has been proposed.
State lawmakers are now going through a large load of documents as they weigh whether the state should provide more than $125 million in incentives to land a large steel mill in East Arkansas. At the Capitol yesterday, a group of legislators calling themselves a steel caucus told reporters the benefits are numerous. The group says it's about 30 strong. State Representative Monty Hodges of Blytheville is the co-chair.
It's not just a Northeast Arkansas or Mississippi County or Osceola project. It is an Arkansas project. And Arkansans are going to go to work, and they're going to make a great living.
However, some lawmakers are questioning whether it's worth the needed incentives. Economic development officials and the Big River Steel Company say it would create 525 high-paying jobs that would help revitalize a struggling region.
Gun rights advocates are watching new proposals take shape in Congress, with measures that would require mandatory background checks for all gun sales, prohibit gun trafficking, and bar high-capacity magazines carrying more than 10 rounds of ammunition. Though some Republicans are showing tentative support for mandatory background checks, U.S. Senator John Bozeman says he wants to see an actual bill before making a decision.
I think in principle, all of us would very much like to see those that we all agree, shouldn't own a firearm, that they're not in that situation. I'd like also to see a real discussion about some of the violent video games and music and what effect that has on a young person.
Senator Bozeman says discussions will continue on Capitol Hill, but for him, the reality is in the details. He says Congress needs to make sure the laws already on the books are enforced with appropriate penalties.
The Full Circle Food Pantry at the University of Arkansas campus yesterday marked its second anniversary. The pantry, which serves the entire campus community with food and personal products, took in more than 16,000 pounds of donations in its first year. But from August to December last year, the pantry more than doubled that total total with 37,000 pounds of donations. During the fall semester, Full Circle served more than 3,400 individuals with an average of 217 served weekly.
It has taken several months, but the extreme drought conditions that affected much of Arkansas for 2012 are improving. According to the National Drought Mitigation Center, none of the state is under extreme or exceptional drought conditions, the two most intense drought classifications. In fact, nearly half of the state is under no drought conditions whatsoever. A week ago, parts of northwest Arkansas, roughly 5% of the state, was still under extreme drought conditions. The improvement is attributed to significant rainfall during the last week of January. However, along the state's western edge, 17% of Arkansas is still under severe drought conditions, meaning that those areas have received less than 65% of normal precipitation for 6 months.
Partly cloudy tonight. Lows will be in the upper 20s in northwest Arkansas, right around 32 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, 20% chance of showers afternoon. Highs will be in the mid-50s. And Saturday night, 80% chance of showers, possibly thunderstorms. Lows in the mid to upper 40s. This is Ozarks at Large. It's a Friday, so it's time for me to check in with Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, a website that covers politics, business, culture, and much more for the entire region. I reach him in Fort Smith's office. How are you, Michael?
I am well. I just don't know if I can talk today. Kyle, my mother came and stole my notes, so I don't know if it's going to work out.
She wanted you to talk to a public radio station closer to home, is that it?
Closer to home, that's right, she did.
National Signing Day, just one of the most bizarre days in this country all the way around. A survey that had nothing to do with National Survey Signing Day for college football, but had to do with a lot of other things, was created by Arkansas Senator John Bozeman. And it was a national survey. One thing it found out is that voters much more care about the economy than social issues right now.
Yes, his 2013 National Agenda Survey, and this is something that these U.S. senators are on both sides are doing. They survey their, and I use the word survey loosely, but they survey constituents, and the response, there are a little over 1,700 participants in this survey, and what it showed overwhelmingly was that people want Congress to fix the economy, to fix the budget, take care of economic issues. And social issues, such as abortion and marriage, were ranked very low on the list. In fact, doing anything to address marriage or protection of marriage or whatever was ranked dead last on this issue. And it would be interesting to see if, you know, the Republicans in Arkansas in the legislature have come out and they're doing, you know, between guns and abortion and other things, they're really pushing their social issue agenda. And I'm just, it would be interesting to know if any of those legislators took note of this, because, you know, those are red meat issues, so to speak, for conservative Republicans. But it looks like even those conservative Republicans say, look, just don't worry about this other stuff. Fix the economy, fix the national deficit, and, you know, just take care of government issues. And then we'll get back to the social issues later. That seems to be the takeaway, at least for what I take away from it.
The landscape in Bentonville is changing still. And Monday, 21C, a new sort of museum/boutique hotel will open. This further kind of changes the landscape both physically and sort of otherwise in Bentonville.
Yeah, you have to think Bentonville Mayor McCaslin just keeps pinching himself. I mean, how much better can it get, you know, in Bentonville? But, yes, this museum, it's a group out of Louisville, Kentucky, and this is kind of their niche. They place these hotels in areas around museums and try to have an affiliation to where people that, for example, in Bentonville, they attend Crystal Bridges, visit Crystal Bridges, I should say, and so they can stay in the hotel, and it completes, so to speak, their museum experience. But it's a $28 million facility, or at least that was one of the initial estimates. Will employ up to 160. And, you know, Kyle, you have to think that with Bentonville, where they've had double-digit increases in their sales tax collections, which is obviously a sign of consumer spending, this would just further that success. And I will be very surprised if their 2013 numbers are below 2012. I mean, you've got this, and I think there's still other restaurants and that type of thing to open in the area. So, you know, downtown Bentonville, you know, 10, 15 years, it's going to be, it'd be nice to get in Marty McFly's car and see what that would look like in 15 years.
Get the DeLorean charged up.
Yeah, right.
Well, we know 21C has its ribbon cutting and official opening on Monday. We're not sure when or if this aquatic park, this Ben Garin Aquatic Park, is ever going to happen.
And no, and that's a great segue.
I work
the,
on it.
You know, we've, it's your job, right?
That's
we've
right.
We've been... The Sebastian County Quorum Court and the Fort Smith Board of Directors have been back and forth on this thing now for several years, and just when you think all the pieces will fall into place, now we have potentially one member of the Quorum Court. It's a very close vote with Quorum Court to approve the funding for this, and last year about this time, or in March maybe, both the Quorum Court and the Fort Smith Board of Directors signed what's called an interlocal agreement to jointly fund and operate this water park facility at Ben Garin. And now it's possible that the Sebastian County Quorum Court will renege on that vote, and we're, you know, back to square one, I guess, on what we do with it. And the City of Fort Smith has said it's already spent roughly $350,000 on the project in terms of analysis, research, plans, that type of thing. So we'll know here in a few weeks. If this thing is going to go forward, it just continues to be, as a friend of mine used to say, that, you know, that sometimes politics in the Fort Smith area, it always morphs into a toe shooting contest. So we'll see if that's what it is with this.
Finally, I want to ask you about your COO, your Chief Operations Officer for CityWire, Patricia Brown, who has been blogging on the CityWire.com for some time about her experience with breast cancer. Now she's blogging for MD Anderson.
Right. Well, and I would say it's a great story, except it's not a great story. I mean, she's blogging because the cancer returned, and now she's fighting that, and it's back and forth. It's a day-to-day battle. But she wanted to begin blogging. You know, people respond to these types of things differently, and she just said, "I'm just going to blog and be brutally honest about the process and the struggles of trying to fight cancer again for the second time." And it's a great story in how she met up with these folks at MD Anderson. They loved what she was doing, and now she's one of several bloggers for MD Anderson. And, you know, I don't have to explain to your listeners the importance of MD Anderson. I mean, that complex there in Houston, the main complex, employs close to 20,000 folks, and people from all over the world fight to get into MD Anderson if they're facing, you know, leukemia, cancer, or other those critical diseases. But yes, Patricia Brown, our Chief Operations Officer, is just kind of laying it out there. And I think her next blog will be, she's going to talk about all the people that literally touched her, whether they're putting in IVs or whatever, during some of her, when she goes down for about a week at a time for all the screening and tests. So she's going to talk about how well those people treat them when they're there. So it's very moving.
You can find her blog at thecitywire.com and also now blogging for MD Anderson. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, thank you for your time.
All right. Well, you're welcome. It's always fun to do it.
Drivers along several highways in the region are familiar with the sights, sounds, and detours of roadwork. As Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis reports, another major thoroughfare in northwest Arkansas is about to undergo construction.
Work is underway on an expansion project of a portion of Highway 265 in Washington County. Joe Shipman is the resident engineer for District 4 of the Arkansas Highway Transportation Department.
The project that is underway in Fayetteville from Highway 45 to East Joyce Boulevard should wrap up probably the latter part of this year. The project in Springdale from the city limits to 412 will probably go into the next work season and end possibly in late 2014.
The current construction will result in a four-lane highway from South Fayetteville to Highway 264 in Springdale, but that's only the southern portion of a larger project. In mid-January, the Highway Department released a preferred alignment for an extended Highway 265 that would end at Arkansas Highway 94 or East New Hope Road in Rogers. As it currently stands, that alignment would use portions of Old Wire Road in Bethel Heights and Lowell and part of South First Street in Rogers. But new construction is part of the mix as well. Danny Straisley is the Assistant Public Information Officer with the State Highway Department. He says that while the preferred alignment is a good idea of where the road will go, in reality, it is a 100-foot-wide corridor that is subject to change.
What will be impacted as we move along here is minor twists and turns in the road, so to speak. Of course, we want it as straight as possible, but you can't always do that. You know, you've got some historical sites up there, a former Civil War encampment site, and some other areas that need to be adhered to. And so as we go through and tweak the design based on, you know, minimal property disruptions, minimal amounts of right-of-way, and the like.
Although some may see a four-lane Highway 265 as a means of easing traffic congestion on Interstate 540 or Highway 71B, the area's two major north-south corridors, Straisley says that that's not the main aim of this project.
This project is more about connectivity. What it does is it adds an additional north-south route. It's not designed to relieve congestion of another route, although people may choose to take this route north or south as they go about their daily business.
But there is some evidence that having another four-laned asphalt artery through the two counties would have an impact on current traffic conditions. John McClarty is the Assistant Director and Transportation Planner for the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission. He says that several years ago, the commission created a travel demand model of the traffic in this area.
The model did show that it would relieve some congestion. It would take some trips off of 71B and 540. But, I mean, it obviously connects the eastern side of these cities, you know, Fayetteville, Springdale, and then you get Bethel Heights, Lowell, and on into Rogers. So, you know, for the residents on those sides of those towns, the eastern side, it will be very convenient for those groups of people to get back and forth and travel north-south without having to go over to 71B or I-540.
McClarty says that when complete, the Eastern Corridor could carry between 18 and 20,000 trips a day. Even in its current state, with four lanes only extending to Arkansas 45 in Fayetteville, he says that Highway 265 is an important route to many in the area.
A lot of traffic uses that just to get back and forth to work. Trucks use it. There's a lot of factories up on that north side of Springdale, so it attracts and is utilized by some significant truck traffic. So, you know, maintaining our infrastructure is important just to keep you know, goods and people moving in northwest Arkansas.
Considering the rate at which the area has grown, McClarty says that the expansion would have been a welcome project 5 or even 10 years ago. But as the area continues to grow, transportation projects will become even more important.
And now it's just as people continue to move into northwest Arkansas, we've had 100,000 people every decade move in for the last two decades, and we're not seeing any change in that trend. So as you add 100,000 people a decade into northwest Arkansas, that just, you know, creates a greater need. So I'd say by the time it's built, it'll be, you know, even more needed than if you could just kind of magically put it on the ground today.
But funding hasn't been secured for the portion of the corridor north of Highway 264 in Springdale. Federal funding is set to come as part of the 2015 State Transportation Improvement Plan, which is a document that outlines all planned local, state, and federal transportation projects in Arkansas. Straisley says that the money won't be available for several months.
Late 2014, early 2015, that money will become federally available, or available from the feds, so that we can get that done. That money includes design and construction as well.
And highway planners won't have an idea of when the entire project will wrap up until after the public meetings and design for the project are complete. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
Saturday, the annual Fayetteville Mardi Gras Parade will roll through downtown just a few days before Fat Tuesday. This year's parade is earlier than usual since Fat Tuesday falls at almost the earliest possible date. Despite the early February observation, the weather forecast is smiling on the parade. A few clouds and highs in the mid-50s. Two of the organizers of the annual event, Laura Knapp and Dixie Rhine, Dixie is the demented Duchess of the parade, recently came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about the floats, the beads, and the participating crews.
I know for sure that Crew Olympia is working on something fabulous. I have a group that called me today that described themselves as fantasy role players who said that they are in the process of doing a seminar within their group on how to dress and make themselves up for the parade. I don't know what that means, but I can't wait to see.
It's, of course, now no one's going to come to Fayetteville and mistake it for New Orleans.
No.
We know that.
Of course not. No.
But this has grown over the past several years.
Yes, it has. And actually, it's one of the oldest and one of the most renowned celebrations of its type in the state. We've been doing this, what, 22 years?
Well, we've had Mardi Gras in Fayetteville for, I believe, 22 years. The Saturday parade, we actually began in 99.
Now, you mentioned one crew.
Yes, that's Crew Olympia.
Crew Olympia. There are other crews that have developed.
Well, we are our crew was the original. We're the demented crew. we have had, there's Crew Calliope. I don't think they are going to be able to pull off a float this year. They have had people that had other things going on. It's a tough year. There has been Crew Boar Rouge recently. There have been several, and some years Olympia is very reliable. Other crews, some years they're in, some years they're out. We just almost, in some cases, never know until the day of the parade.
Yeah. We're looking for floats and interesting things to...
Right, walking groups.
Yes, walking groups.
So say someone hears this and says, you know what, I've got a group. Maybe we're not quite a crew yet. Maybe we're going to become a crew.
It doesn't take a lot.
Right. Well, that's the question. What do you have to do to participate?
Show up.
Pretty much show up. If you are going to have a motorized entry, we do require walkers for the safety of the public. In terms of walking groups, it doesn't require much of anything. We've actually had family groups that just all put on matching hats and showed up and just jumped in with the parade. We don't have a lot of funny rules. We don't charge for family or community or children's groups. The only entry fees that we charge at all are for signage carrying commercial vehicles and groups that don't build a float. If they actually go to the trouble of building a float, that costs money. We waive the fee for that.
Do people have doubloons or things to toss?
We do ask that they try and do some sort of throws, beads usually. Sometimes they'll have doubloons, sometimes candy.
You know, back in 99, how did that idea to start a parade?
Well, we had been doing the Mardi Gras on Tuesday night for about 10 years at that point.
On the actual Fat Tuesday
night. On the actual Fat Tuesday night. And we had always talked about how great it would be if we could have a Saturday daytime parade. And we talked about it more after 98. And we made big plans, and it got closer and it got closer, and the big plans really had not materialized. And at the last minute, we decided that it was probably better to do a thing poorly at the last minute than to just not do it. So that first parade, we had one decorated truck, one truck with a P-Row on the roof.
For the uninitiated, a P-Row...
That is roughly a John boat,
right,
in Ozark speak.
Right. Though it looks slightly different. It's
slightly,
a different... Slightly,
yes.
Right. Same concept.
And we had Jose's with a small trailer, a two-wheel trailer, with one of their canopy tops on it. And some of their employees, that it was not one of the nice long four-wheel stable trailers, so every time they hit a bumper went around the corner, everybody bounced around the float.
Yes.
You understand. So yeah, there were three of us. We didn't talk to the police department. People looked at
this was just a you this, just did it
the cops found us setting up in the parking lot and decided that they would lead us down the street. They wouldn't wear any beads. We tried. And people looked at us like we were out of our minds. But we threw them beads anyway.
Now
so that was the first.
That was the first. That was 99.
That was 99.
By 2013, it's official.
Oh, yes.
It's people know it's coming. And
Yes.
Yes.
And we do want to remind everyone that it is a family friendly event. Right. Bring your kids out.
Yeah, that's the thing. You want people in the parade, but you want people there to see it
as well.
Sure.
That's right.
Now, as you mentioned, of course, Mardi Gras dates shift every year.
Yes, it is.
It's in conjunction with Easter, and this is almost as early this year as you can have it.
I believe February 5th, which we had about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. is the earliest it can possibly be. This year, Mardi Gras itself falls on the 12th, and of course, our Saturday parade is 3 days before that, so February 9th is very close to as early as it can be.
So that does make it tough when you're in a city or community that doesn't revolve around Mardi Gras.
Exactly.
As many in southern Louisiana and others do.
Right. It is very tough.
So you come right out of the holidays.
That's right. And it takes people 2 weeks after New Year's Eve to find their feet.
Right. So if people want to participate, what time should they be where to get lined up?
They should be behind in the parking lot behind the Bank of Fayetteville on the square. They should be there by no later than 1:30 if it's a float. Possible, we'd like to know they're coming.
Fayetteville
Mardi Gras on Facebook. We've got a website that is FayettevilleMardiGras.com. There are entry materials there and contact information.
And we're also now on Twitter.
Yes.
Faytown Mardi Gras.
So just follow there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to see the parade.
Yes.
Yeah.
Start lining up around.
The parade rolls precisely at 2. So,
okay.
And there will be people. I mean, we will start behind the Bank of Fayetteville. We will enter Mountain Street. We will go around three sides of the square. And then we will go down Block Street towards the post office, which is the wrong way. But hopefully the street will be closed. And then we will turn down Dixon to West. And the parade, we will not have a festival area this year. We will simply disband the parade at the corner of Dixon and West.
Well, looking forward to it. And people can follow you on Twitter, Facebook. Was it Mardi Gras, Fayetteville.com?
Fayetteville Mardi Gras.
FayettevilleMardiGras.com. What else should we know?
Just come on out, have some fun, and don't be afraid to join in. The more
That's
the merrier.
Right. Silly's
we
good
just
with us.
Have fun at this.
Yeah.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Laura Knapp and Dixie Ryan are two of the organizers of the annual Mardi Gras Parade in downtown Fayetteville. The parade is Saturday. It is Friday, February 8th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us back from her sick bed is Becca Martin Brown, features editor of Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. You got hit with the flu, did you not?
I did, and it was even less fun than it sounds
like.
All
right.
Welcome back.
Recommend not doing it. No good. But Kyle pointed out something important. Today is the 8th.
Yes.
Valentine's Day is the 14th.
6 days away.
I'm from Northwest Arkansas Media, and I'm here to help you.
Okay.
Okay, tonight,
mm-hmm.
Night Must Fall.
Oh, at the ACO.
At the ACO. It's a classic murder mystery thriller in the vein of Agatha Christie, because they find that's really popular this time of year.
And this is what you're suggesting for Valentine's, a sort of murder mystery?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's theater. That makes good dates.
Okay.
Theater makes good dates. And there's a love story.
There's
a crotchety little old lady. You remember Judy Scott, don't you?
Yeah.
Judy's become a crotchety little old lady. And a gentleman caller comes to the house to actually see her maid. Charms her so much, she hires him as her personal assistant. And then things start to happen. And who done it? We don't know. 7:30 today and tomorrow, 3 o'clock Sunday, and again next Friday and Saturday at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale, $20 for adults at 751-5441. On Saturday, we're going to go spend the whole day in Eureka Springs.
Now we're talking Valentine's.
Chocolate Lovers Festival.
Okay.
9 to 3 at the end of the Ozarks Convention Center, $12 for adults and $6 for children 6 and younger.
But how much chocolate do you want to give a child who's 6 and under?
Not my problem.
Okay.
Then at 2 o'clock, you can go to the Mardi Gras Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 7, you can go to the Beaux-Arts Ball, which is part of the Mardi Gras celebration.
Mm-hmm.
The parade's free. We just spent $12 a piece for the Chocolate Festival, and the Beaux-Arts Ball is $20 a person. So you've just gotten away with the whole Valentine's Day for less than $75.
Not bad.
How can you go wrong? On Sunday, you can stay overnight, that's your nickel, and go to the jazz brunch Sunday morning at the Crescent Hotel. Mm-hmm. 11 to 2 in New Orleans style, $25. Reservations recommended, 253-9652. Sunday afternoon, you can take the family and go to Family Sunday at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville.
Okay.
That's free. Wow. And that's from noon to 5. And then Sunday afternoon or evening, you can go see the wrap-up of Memphis, the musical, at the Walton Arts Center. And tickets for that start at $49. All right, now on Monday. You know, every week What's Up has a new or interesting dining establishment. Mm-hmm. This week just happens to be a perfect Valentine's Day resource. It's called Purity Pie Company.
It's so good.
Is it?
It is so good. I went the first day it opened. It was National Pie Day. How do you not go?
You know she's a size zero, right?
It was really good.
It's in one of the Airstream trailers on College Avenue in Fayetteville. They sell pie by the slice.
And it's savory and sweet pies, right? Uh-huh. I think if you go at lunchtime, you can get a savory pie.
They had cobbler. The day I was there, let's see, what did we get?
Cobbler.
We got cherry cobbler, peach cobbler, and an Dutch apple pie, mm-hmm. I think. Caramel Dutch apple pie. That was really good.
So you can take your sweetheart and go get some pie. 11 to 6 Tuesday through Saturday. Now we've come up on Tuesday. And time for Fat Tuesday.
Right.
Yay.
Second Line Pub Crawl starts at 4:30 in Eureka Springs. Starts at the Pied Piper, one of my favorite places. Fat Tuesday, 7:30 in downtown Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. They will crawl down Dixon Street starting at Jose's. Or you can go to the Alma Performing Arts Center and see a retro 1940s musical review called In the Mood.
Oh.
And tickets for that start at $20. Wednesday, mm-hmm. poet Lauren Zuniga at the university, the new Aubon Payne Coffee House, 7 o'clock. That's free. And on Thursday,
Valentine's Day,
Rogers Little Theater is having its annual Valentine's Day Spectacular.
What happens?
Well, first of all, there's a performance of the musical 9 to 5, mm-hmm. and you get a photograph, you get a long-stemmed rose and chocolates. It's one-stop shopping. You can't mess this up.
Okay.
You can call 631-8988 for reservations. And if you've still messed it up, and Thursday's come and gone. Uh-huh.
Or if you're just waiting for the weekend.
Or if you're just waiting for next Friday.
Right.
Blossoms Burlesque is having a bedtime tale show at Teatro Scarpino in Fayetteville. Grown-ups only. Live music, poetry, fire hooping, comedy, dance. $25 for general seating or $30 for VIP arrangements. And you can check What's Up and find the details on all of these events.
All right.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
At this hour, a campaign to raise money to have a monument of Fort Smith native General William Orlando Darby created and installed in a Fort Smith park is beginning. The members of the General Darby Legacy Project are announcing their plans today, the 103rd anniversary of the general's birth. General Darby is perhaps best known for his organization of the 1st Ranger Battalion during World War II. Liz Armstrong is the co-vice president of the project, and I talked to her this week in advance of today's announcement. The city already has a junior high named after General Darby, and a new mural of the general can be seen downtown. Now, the General Darby Legacy Committee is planning for another honor.
We are working on commissioning a monument of General Darby on his Harley-Davidson that they used during the war for him to be able to go in between troops. And it will be in Cisterna Park on Garrison Avenue in Fort Smith. It'll be a bronze monument about 1 1/4 life size.
What will it take to have this monument created and then permanently placed in the park?
Well, we've already received a proclamation from the city of Fort Smith, permission to put it into Cisterna Park. We have received our partnership with Park Partners of Fort Smith Incorporated. They are a nonprofit and they do projects for the parks in Fort Smith, and they are partnering with us so that we can immediately start our fundraising campaign.
Any idea how much money you'll need to raise?
We have sent out a call to artists, and we are looking at approximately $200,000 would be probably a very close range of what it's going to take.
You know, of course, the city of Fort Smith has that brand or relatively new statue of Bass Reeves. To have Bass Reeves sort of at one end of the city and then further up the road to have a monument to General Darby, that'd be quite something, wouldn't it?
Well, we look at it, they're two different heroes, 19th century and 20th century, on each end. I think it's going to be a great addition to Fort Smith, and I think it'll bring a lot of Rangers from all over the United States. We do plan on doing a all-era Ranger reunion when we do the unveiling.
And do you have a timetable, or is it a little too early for that?
It's a little too early, but we are shooting for about 2 years. If everything is going as well as it is looking like it's going to, we would love to be able to do it within the 2 years, but we will just work on it until it's finished.
You and I are talking before the open house that's taking place actually as this is airing at the Fort Smith Museum of History. There are plenty of pieces of memorabilia from General Darby's life at the museum, aren't there?
Yes, there are. His sister, Doris Nell Watkins, donated everything that she had as far as military and personal effects of General Darby to the museum approximately 30 years or so ago. I happened to work at the museum when I was in high school and had the honor of helping type some of the catalog cards and part of the collection. When my husband was a ranger instructor at Fort Benning, Georgia, they were putting together a ranger museum, and they called the museum in Fort Smith, Arkansas for copies because we had the largest collection at the Fort Smith Museum of History on General Darby.
When you go to the website darbylegacyproject.com, on the front page you have a picture of General Darby, and I take it that is he's on the Harley in that picture?
Yes, sir. That's a 1942 WLA Harley Davidson. We have spoke with Harley Davidson Corporate, and they have given us preliminary approval. They said that they don't. There's no any type of copyright infringements or anything. We wanted to make sure with that, and they've offered any help that they can do because it's a secondary part of the monument. There should be no problems, and they've offered to even let us come to the factory if we need to get any other information on the bike or any measurements or anything like that, because they have the same scale motorcycle right there.
And you mentioned there's a call to artists. Is this open nationally, internationally?
It is open to anyone. We are really hoping to stay Arkansas artists, if at all possible. Of course, we want to go with quality, but we have so many quality artists in the state of Arkansas that are sculptors that we feel like we can pull from that base, but we would like to stay in the region at least. As you mentioned, Darby Junior High, the principal of the school is our chairman mm-hmm. of the committee, and we want to involve the students in this. So if the artist is somewhat local, we would be able to have students go see it or be a part of it in some process.
Finally, I don't mean this as a criticism, but it's on one hand somewhat surprising there isn't a monument already, isn't it?
I agree. That's what everyone has thought. I think it's long overdue. He is revered and is respected by so many people. The Ranger community, the U.S. Army Ranger community, is so aware of what his sacrifices were and of all the Rangers in World War II. When they graduate from Ranger school and go through the course, there is a Camp Darby at Fort Benning, Georgia. They have the obstacle course, which is the Darby Queen. There was a Navy ship, the General Darby. There's just so many things that are in his honor, but we think that right in center of Fort Smith, Arkansas, Garrison Avenue, it's the most fitting tribute that we can do.
Liz Armstrong is the co-vice president of the General Darby Legacy Project. Today, the committee announced plans to raise money for the creation and installation of a monument honoring General Darby. You can learn more online at darbylegacyproject.com.
The band Damn Arkansan, an alt-country four-piece in the vein of early Wilco and Dawes, credits Smoking Barrel for helping them make it as a band, so they decided to organize a benefit concert to upgrade the venue's sound system. Drew Walls, lead vocals and guitar, Caleb Rose, guitar and vocals, Will Eubanks, bass, and Chris Fletcher, drums, stopped by the Firman Garner Performance Studio to play an all-acoustic set and talk about their band dynamic with Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson.
You guys are doing a benefit for Smoking Barrel to raise money for a new sound system. So let's talk a little bit about that benefit.
That's right. So on March 9th, Damn Arkansan will be hosting a fundraiser to upgrade the sound system at one of the probably our favorite places to go hear live music in Fayetteville is Smoking Barrel. And so we really got with a group of the other local musicians in town and sort of pitch the idea, you know, everyone to chip in and, you know, play all day and just sort of really raise awareness and have a $5 cover, and all the proceeds and money are basically going to go towards updating everything.
We wanted to help them out a little bit. You know, they helped us get our start in Fayetteville, and so we wanted to sort of return the favor and also showcase some of the talent. Like, a lot of times, you know, we don't get to play with some of the, say, metal bands or things like that, you know. So we just wanted to get a little bit of everything from Fayetteville and bring in some bands that wouldn't necessarily play with us normally, but this will be a good chance to sort of see a little bit of everything. Yeah,
there's a lot of different sort of niche scenes, I guess, in Fayetteville. Like, you have the JR scene, Smoking Barrel, George's. I mean, there's sort of little pockets of everyone dispersed.
It'd be nice to get them all together in one place.
Right, yeah, and that's sort of the thought behind it.
Tell us a little bit about the history of your band, Damn Arkansan, and how you guys came together, how long you guys have been playing together.
Our band came about basically by testing a theory. I lived up here first, or I guess Caleb before we knew each other, but I lived up in Bentonville, and Will, you know, convinced him to move to Fayetteville. We didn't really know anyone around the scene 2 years ago, so we tested a theory out about... We had a bunch of music. We'd always played in bands, so we were just going to put out a record. So we put out our first self-titled record a year and a half ago. In sort of the process, we met Caleb in the process, who came and laid down guitar work, and he later joined the band. We went into the studio last year to record a follow-up to our self-titled album called Brave Mistakes. And really, for the first time, sort of was able to capture our live sound. And, you know, I think that our live show is really what is a big selling point for us in terms of playing. So it's what also we have fun, you know, playing live. That's, you know, sort of what it's all about. But Jenny's a
years
song that's been
ours.
Jenny is a song that's been around for 10 years at least, and only finally realized fully with this lineup.
It's the most recent as far as the band is concerned. Like, it's the most recent one we worked on.
The song is called Jenny. Sorry.
close my eyes and realize to say goodbye. 'Cause now I'm supposed to get along. I'll close my eyes and realize to say goodbye. 'Cause how am I supposed to get along? I said, baby, when is we gonna after all this time? Will it all turn around again? How am I supposed to get along? I said, baby, when is we gonna
first time we've ever played that.
Yeah.
So we're constantly sort of evolving how we write, but at the same time also, you know, you always try to push
stick
it a little.
Stick to what you know.
Stick to what you know, right, yeah.
And it's good from a band member perspective, too, because you don't always feel like you're stuck in your role, you know? Like, you feel like you get to do something new with each step or each new chapter, for if you want to call it that, the band takes, that you have a different role in that chapter or a more involved role.
And I think that whenever you write music, I mean, writing music by yourself, you're going through that experience just with your perspective, right? Whenever you start adding other people's perspective, it becomes a lot more honest process, you know.
Somebody to keep you in check.
Yeah, it's like, never sing that again. That was terrible. Never do that live.
Speaking of new things, you said that the upright that you played, you just acquired that.
Yeah, I've been playing upright for maybe 6 months. Mm-hmm. I've been playing electric bass since I was about 10, so almost 17 years now. But the upright is a completely new thing to me. And yeah, it's interesting. It's a whole different beast. But it's added a lot to like what we can actually do. You know, we can go and play acoustic shows. We can go busk on a street corner if we want to. You know, I'm not limited by having to plug into anything anymore, which is nice, but I'm still trying to, you know, get a grip on this massive instrument.
We have another song that you'll hear called Legs. Bust out the gitcho on that one. That one's going to have more of a swinging feel, sort of a gospel song about chasing women.
Are you ready?
I didn't figure it would make.
Well, I'm not the man you wanna meet. I'm always on the run. And safe to say that when you go, it makes me second guess it all. I've been down for the city, oh, I've been out in the farm. But I met you, girl, at the age we were. Thank you.
Thank you for playing in the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Thank you so much.
Did you guys have fun?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great little room.
Katie Hendrickson in the Furman Garner Performance Studio with Dam Arkansan. They're playing a benefit concert along with seven other diverse local bands March 9th at Smoke and Barrel to raise money for an upgrade to the venue's sound system. We'll hear from another song from that session on Weekend Ozarks at Large Sunday morning at 9 on KUAF. Happy to say we have many more musicians lined up through the winter and spring in the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
KUAF is supported by Ben Owens Shelter Insurance Agency, providing auto, home, and life insurance. 582-4990 for more information. Support for KUAF also comes from Northwest Arkansas Media, publishers of Northwest Arkansas Times, Springdale and Rogers Morning News, Benton County Daily Record, and the Northwest Arkansas edition of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, offering a blend of local, state, national, and international news, plus business and Razorback news. More information is available online at nwaonline.com.
Time to answer yesterday's trivia question.
Which was?
First I'll tell you that two correct answers, will receive four Malco movie passes each.
Okay.
This was Christina Thomas's question, because we had talked about Memphis and we had interviewed Bill Perry, who's in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked about the person who wrote the music for Memphis. David Bryan is his name. And she said, what 80s band was he a member of?
I have no idea.
Well, a lot of people guessed incorrectly. I think this is the first time we've ever asked this question where I had more people guess incorrectly than know the answer.
Okay.
All sorts of bands were mentioned. Blondie, Talking Heads. The correct answer, he was a member of Bon Jovi.
Really?
Yes.
Very cool.
Andrew Goff, Chrissy Curlin, among those who answered correctly, they will have the tickets coming to them through the mail.
Excellent.
And we'll try to get it in there before the Saturday service ends.
Oh, right.
Which
okay.
I think is not until June.
August.
August, yes.
Uh-huh.
All right.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Barling.
Barling, just south of Fort Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Big weekend planned for you?
Different events here and there.
Okay.
Big as far as lots of random things, nothing like one major event right. or anything like that.
Do you watch the Grammy Awards? They'll be on Sunday night.
I might.
I like that air of mystery. I might.
I don't know. That's a couple days away. Who knows what will happen between now and then.
Right. I think Mumford & Sons are going to be on.
Oh, then I may have to tune in for that.
There you go.
Maybe I'll DVR it.
There you go.
I don't have the patience to sit through all of the things.
No, DVR is the way to go with an award show. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'll be with Christina Thomas Sunday morning at 9. You're going solo on Monday at noon.
I am, and we'll be back together on Tuesday.